My name is Billy Lawson. I'm from Zip City, Alabama. And I've written songs for a living since 1986. When I was about 1 and a half, I got interested in music. There was a song called Feel Like I Gotta Travel On that was a hit by Billy Grammer. And I learned the song, and looking back, it really connected to me because I didn't realize that the guy in the song was in, I thought he might have been in the Army. I didn't know he was in jail. I was too, but, and my mother had a brother that was in the military, and he had left, and his name was Johnny, and it was Johnny in the song, and I called my grandpa Papa, and it was Papa Rice to Johnny. And I don't ever remember not wanting to be in music. When I was a kid, my daddy had a drinking buddy named Carl Montgomery that came home and stayed about a week with us one time. And Carl was the brother to Peanut Montgomery, who's written 75 George Jones songs, 73 George Jones songs, and bunch of other great songs. And Melba Montgomery, the Grand Ole Opry star. Carl was a co-writer on Six Days on the Road. He was an influence. Junior Lowe was a neighbor who played bass on When a Man Loves a Woman and Land of 1,000 Dances and played guitar on I'd Rather Go Blind. Later on, influences were Red Lane, Curly Putman, Bobby Braddock, and Dean Dillon as far as songwriting. I started out at Wishbone Studios in 86. It was kind of a weird thing. I'd went over to sing some demos because they needed a country singer to freshen up some demos. Terry Woodford had heard about me and called me, and so I went over and sang, and we kind of hit it off. Terry Woodford sold the publishing company, which had all a lot of the Mac McAnally's first works, and Robert Byrne, and Donnie Lowry, and Brandon Barnes. He sold the publishing company to Frank DeLeo, Michael Jackson's manager, who was Mr. Big in all the Wayne's World movies. And Woodford told me, he said, I'm gonna have to let you go because I've sold. And so he said, but if you go home and write some songs, these people may sign you. And so that's what I did over the weekend. And they liked what I turned in and signed me, and they got me to Nashville. But I never moved. I still lived here, and I was playing clubs here in town and on the state line. And they played some of my demos for Larry Hamby, not the Larry Hamby here in Florence, but Larry Hamby, who was the head of Epic Records. And Larry gave me a record deal, and I went in and recorded. I found my master tapes the other day of January the 20th. Third, I cut Friends in Low Places before Garth on that album, and I recorded Blue Blooded Woman, Redneck Man, Alan Jackson's first hit that Alan wrote. Alan didn't have a record deal. He called and thanked me for recording the song, and Larry got a promotion and went to L.A. to run the pop and rock division, and the guy that came in just kind of shelved me because he didn't sign me and the record never came out. About 3 years after I'd been in Nashville writing for Frank DeLeo, he sold the company. And I left there and went to Tom Collins, who was a great record producer, did Ronnie Millsap and Barbara Mandrell, and I wrote for him for a couple of years. And then after that, I wrote for Mike O'Rear for a year. Mark Colley and Shenandoah were in the they had the same producer, Don Cook, who ran the creative end of Sony Tree Publishing, which was founded by our local Buddy Killen here from Florence. And to me, Tree was just the mecca of publishing. And I signed with him, and I was there for 10 years. And then after that, I was with John Rich for 5 years of Big and Rich, and then I'm doing my own thing right now. I've been blessed to have two number ones that I've written. I wrote a song called I'm Learning As You Go for Rick Trevino, which was my first number one, and then Trace Atkins, I Left Something Turned On at Home was my second number one. I've had cuts on Blake Shelton, Tim McGraw, Gretchen Wilson, Leanne Womack, Shenandoah, Lone Star, and Sammy Kershaw, Brian White, but probably one of my favorite cuts is a George Strait cut called Look Who's Back from Town. I just love his recording of it, and his singing was just awesome. In 2004, a buddy of mine, Bud McGuire, Mike McGuire, the drummer from Shenandoah, his brother purchased the Wishbone Studio, and a contractor had owned it, and I think they had went in and built cubicles and kind of glued drywall up on the big glass and stuff. And Bud, you got to give it to Bud. He put it back like it was, as close to like it was as it could. And in a lot of ways, I think better. And so he just, we're friends and we rode a lot together. And he said, why don't you just take one of these rooms and put you an office and a little recording rig in, just come over and hang. So I did. And I'd left there and started my own studio on Second Street where Gator's Fitness is at now. It was in one end of it. It was Big Star Recording, and I was there for, I don't know, a couple of years, maybe longer, and Bud came in one day and just said, why don't you buy my building? I never thought I would ever own that building. It's such a big building. I wasn't sure that I wanted to be responsible for all that maintenance and the upkeep on it, but I finally just went for it and bought it, and I'm glad I bought it. I've got some great clients coming in, Sammy Kershaw, Phil Driscoll, Daryl Worley, Jimmy Hall's been in and cut a couple of things, I've done some tracks for Billy Ray Cyrus and I've got other people coming. I think that Muscle Shoals music is just it's all done with a lot of feeling, whether it be country, rock and roll, or old school R&B. It's just all, 100% feel and emotion. And in this day and time, that's really rare.